Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I am grateful, thankful, and blessed to have my co-host with me this morning. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you today?
Good morning. Good morning. Oh, Pastor, you make me feel good. You sound so happy all the time when you're on the show.
I am happy.
And I'm thankful for that.
I am able to talk this morning, no hoarseness, thank the Lord, feeling good, had a great sleep, had a great shower, just feeling good, as they say, feeling good in the neighborhood. Feeling great, because we got a great word this morning. And the one thing that we find in the word today is that we must always watch and pray. You know, the word that says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We know Jesus is coming back. We don't know when. We know how. All we got to do is look up. When we say there's a lifting of my head, we got to remember, we got to look up. Don't look down, look up. Don't look to the left, look up. Don't look to the right, mother, look up. North, don't look south, don't look west, don't look east. Look up. Because that's how he's coming back, you know, from the clouds. And, you know, I told someone one day, and I may have mentioned it on the show, I think yesterday or, you know, some days ago, that Jesus is not coming back all lovey-dovey, you know, preaching in the temple. He's coming back to clean house. He's going to be tearing up some weeds and pulling weeds and doing some stuff. And, you know, the word of God tells us that we don't want to be pregnant. Don't want to be suckling the baby. Don't want to be, you know, you got the, hey, I'm in the field. I can't go back to my house to get my stuff. I got to go. He's coming back. You know, I can't run down to the basement because I got some stuff. I got to go. I can't go get my luggage because I got to pack, you know, my shoes and got to pack a few things. I can't even stop and get the underwear, Mama. You got, when it's your time, it's your time to go up because he's going to call those up. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We got to be ready. And again, like we say all the time, Mother, all this stuff you got, look around. You can't take it with you.
Don't mean nothing.
Take not one stitch with you. Can't take it. It's going to be here while you gone. It's going to be here waiting for somebody else to pick up, sell, do whatever they got to do while you gone. And you worrying about, oh, I got to get this. Oh, I got to get that. Uh-uh. You can't take it. It's going to be right here. Somebody else to have to deal with all your mess. We need to look up and pray always. Prayer changes things. But don't play with God. One foot in, Mama. They play hopscotch with God. They got one foot in, one foot out. One foot in, one foot out. And it's like, uh-oh, you can't do that. Because God will knock you off your socks. He will knock you on your hiney, I'ma tell you. That knee go out, that leg go out. As you hop one time too many, you gonna break something. We gotta be careful. So we gotta pray and look up as always, knowing that Jesus is coming back. And the thing is, will you be ready? We gotta be ready. And that comes from praying, that comes from seeking and spending time with God. You know, when we come on this blog and come on this show, we come on to spend time with God and in
Amen.
His word. What we speak and preach and teach comes from the word of God. And, you know, again, may God rest the family who, oh my, what a mighty man of God. That's all I can say. What a mighty man of God who is
Amen.
Being missed already. Already. Love that man's show. Just love it. And, you know, his preaching, his teaching, his Bible that we're using. Mighty, mighty man of God. We are blessed to have had him for the 90 years that he was on this earth. Keeping
My
it
Lord.
Real for God. Because Dr. Stanley don't play. He will break it down. And you will say, okay, God, I heard you through Dr. Stanley. Or I heard you. And, you know, what we talked about on yesterday is we got to listen for the voice of God. And ask God, Lord, give me discernment to know you and your voice over the counterfeit, over the evil one. Because the evil one will try to whisper in your ear, too. And you got to learn to know the difference between the voice of God and the voice of the sneaky snake. Because he will slither in and put all kind of stuff in your mind. And you're like, where did that come from? If it's not a
Amen.
God, you know where it came from. Right, Mom? You know
Amen.
Where it came from. So we got to keep looking up and keep thanking God because today is gorgeous. Today is beautiful. Sun was morning when I woke up, and it was just beautiful. And the sun is shining into my room right now. Just beautiful.
Amen.
But we have to take a minute, Mother, as we get ready to pray in, to ask God to watch over all the people that were in that massive accident on yesterday, not too far from where we live, not too far from where we stayed. And I work, actually, in the community where the accident happened on Wednesdays and Fridays. And all I could think about was, wow, God, the way I come home. And that's, you know, it's not the time. I come home a little bit after that. But from a friend of mine who lives in the area, she said that it was just like a snowstorm. But instead of it being snow, it was just this brown dust from the cornfields and the soybean fields that just covered everything. When you look at some of the pictures, it looks like snow. It looks like
was anybody
snow
killed?
On the ground. They six people were killed from six
My
from
Lord.
2 years old up to 88. There were over 70 cars, is what an article said. But the person I spoke with said that it was probably closer to 100 cars, and that
My
they
Lord.
Filled up. As they were taking them off the road and putting them in this one community, they said that the car took over the whole entire courthouse area, took over two abandoned gas stations and car and lots, that it was just cars, as far as the eyes could see, just cars everywhere that had been taken off the road to the point where they had to bring them into Springfield to the Route 66 and put them there because it was just so many of them. When I got off work yesterday, it was around 12:30-ish, I kept hearing ambulances and seeing ambulances. I mean, they were just flying down the street that I was on because the street that I was on goes to the interstate. And, I mean, it's like every time I turn around, you could hear the sirens as ambulances were heading out. I had no idea what had gone on. But I knew there was a whole lot of cars. And I'm like, wow, there's still a lot of cars out at lunchtime today is what I thought, not understanding they were rerouting people through the city because it couldn't go on the interstate. It was just backed up, both sides, north and south, cars everywhere. And I know that, and a lot of them were trucks. Two trucks blew up. So they had to bring out the hazmat people, and it was a mess. But I know because I drive that way, like I said, 2 days a week. And when I tell you, the cars and the trucks are flying. And even though the state police are right there, they are flying. And folks got to slow down because you never know what can happen. And from my understanding, that a van was driving and they couldn't see. And they slowed down. And when they slowed down, they were hit from behind by a semi. And from that point, it caused a chain reaction, and it just went down the highway for about 10 miles. And when the dust hit one side, it was hitting the other side, and similar things were going on over there. So we pray, and we open up and ask God to cover all the families that were affected. You know, those that don't know their loved one is gone. And those that do, Father God in heaven, we come with humble hearts this morning, God, lifting up the people who were in that horrific accident yesterday. All the people, Lord God, those that are with you, Lord God, and those that are still here, that are in hospitals, that are in hotels, that are wondering why, God. Give them clarity that nothing happens without you, God, involved. That you kept more lives saved than left. That you chose who needed to go and who needed to stay to tell the story of how amazing you are. That even though to us it's horrific, it's not, because think about all the lives that could have been lost that were not. So, Father God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for bringing attention that we have got to be very careful when we are driving, that it's an honor and a privilege, but it can also be our death, that we must be careful and drive with caution and drive with an understanding that no one is promised tomorrow. But when we get in the vehicles, we thank you for them, and we ask you to get us safely to our destinations and back. So, Father God, I lift up all travelers today, all those traveling on the highways, the trains, the planes, and the automobiles, and by boat, whatever they mode of transportation they're in, walking, riding their bikes, riding their motorcycles. I ask you to cover all those that are travelers today, God. Cover them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Let their mode of transportation get them to and from their destination. And Father God, if their destination is to you, let them be ready. Let them know you. Let them have watched and prayed to know that you, God, love them and have your arms open wide to receive them. Father God, as we go forth today, we ask you to increase as we decrease, Father. Let the words that we speak, the words that we read, the words that we teach, God, let them come from you, God. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength. And you, Lord God, are our redeemer. And we are the redeemed, and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus Christ. And as we look up for his return, be ready. In his holy and divine name, we thank you again for this day that you have made, Lord God. We rejoice and are glad in it. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah,
Mother, giving honor to God. We are in 1 Samuel chapter 6 and 7 today, as well as the 55th Psalm, verses 1 through 8, Proverbs 15, verse 14, which is a word that we need to keep in mind. That's a highlightable mother. Luke chapter 21, verses 20 through 38. And as we get started, we are moving forward. And I am coming first today. And I am coming out of 1 Samuel. You know, I always talk about Joshua being my guy, but I don't know. Samuel's pretty tough, too. And he did not play. He is one of those ones that started as a child. And as every time I read it, I always think of the little me, the four-year-old me that wanted to go to church, that would cry to go to church because it was just something there that I just needed to get there. Once I got there, I knew I'd be all right. And I remember getting to church for the first time in my new clothes. Couldn't nobody tell this little four-year-old anything. I thought I was the cutest thing that ever walked in Birth Chapel and church because Mama Malia was looking good. And I know I was with her with my little head held up like she held her head. And I was like rocking my new little outfit. So couldn't tell me nothing. And then I got to sit between my two favorite ladies too. You know, and I just love them. God rest their souls, Miss Abby and my other lady. I just lost her name. God forgive me. Miss Ollie and Miss Abby. There we go, because their names were so familiar. Miss Ollie and Miss Abby, and I thought they was the coolest two ladies besides, of course, my Leah. But they, you know, I sat between the two of them because I had to sit between the two of them because they would try to see which one I was going to sit with. But they just finally started sitting together. And I stepped between the two of them and had my little hymnal like I could read. I couldn't read yet, but I learned to read. And I learned everything that I was supposed to say. You know, when they would say, the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth be silent before him, I would stand up boldly and say, you know, may the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I'll be ready. I'll have my little words down. You know, I memorized it, listening to the adults. By the time I was 6 and 7 and could read, I was ready because I had learned the Apostles' Creed. You know, I learned it all. I was ready. I was AME through and through. And I remember I was 9 years old when I accepted Christ personally and not the christening. I found out from my mom, as I used to dream about being a little white robe to the river, that it actually happened, that I was baptized in a little white robe in the Ohio River. Because they used to take you to the river for real. It wasn't just a song. It was an absolute. Take me to the river to be baptized. That's what we did back then. And I was baptized as a baby practically in my little white robe in the Ohio River. And so what it means, it was a memory. I thought, wow, God, that's why I love you so much, because I must have felt something. You know, I was afraid of water for a long time. Maybe that was why. But I really am grateful to all the women and men in my life who poured in and continue to pour in. So thank you, Mother Valerie, for your grace and your mercy and for thinking of me and coming in and working with me. So get into your word. Everybody got your word now? Let's go.
Amen.
Let's get in our word today. So now the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. There's a special. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it to its place. Because remember, that ark is causing havoc over there. They got tumors and rats, and the little idol was bowing down. And then God said, forget this nonsense. Tow the head off, the arms off, the hands off, and all they could do was see the parts of the idol just thrown around the room. And the ark sitting quietly where it was placed. God don't play that. And then it goes on to say, so they said, if you send away the ark of the God of Israel. Do not send it empty. By all means, return it to him with a trespass offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. Then they said, what is the trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden rats, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. But the same plague was on all of you and on all your lords. Therefore you shall make images of your tumors and images of your rats that ravage the land. And you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will listen, lighten his hand from you, from your God, some little G's, and from your hand, because he was tearing up their God, just tearing them up. Why then do you harden your heart as the Egyptians? We know what happened to the Egyptians. And Pharaoh hardened their hearts. He did mighty things among them. Did they not let the people go that they might depart? Now, therefore, make a new cart. Take 2 milk cows, which have never been yoked, and hitch the cows to the cart and take their calves home away from them. Then take the ark of the Lord and set it on the cart and put the articles of gold, which you are returning to him as a trespass offering, in a chest by its side. Then send it away and let it go, and watch if it goes up the road to its Shemesh. Then he has done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not him, not his hand, that struck us. It happened to us by chance. Not today, baby, not today. It happened because the Lord's hand was in it. And it says, then the men did so. They took 2 milk cows, hitched them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. And they set the ark of the Lord on the cart, and the chest with the gold rats and the images of their tumors. Then the cows headed straight for the road to Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and did not turn aside to the right hand or the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them to the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. Then the cart came to the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh and stood there. A large stone was there. So they split the wood of the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. The Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the chest that was with it, in which were the articles of gold, the large stone. Then the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and made sacrifices the same day to the Lord. So when the 5 lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron that same day. These are the golden tumors which the Philistines returned as a trespass offering to the Lord, one for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, one for Ekron, and the golden rats, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines, belonging to the 5 lords, both fortified cities and country villages, even as far as the large stone of Abel, on which they set the ark of the Lord, which stone remains to this day in the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh. Then he struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,070 men of the people, and the people lamented because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. And honestly, you're not supposed to mess or look into the ark. It's for everybody to do. You know, there are those that say that it's ready, it was radioactive. I don't know. I don't know God's plan. But I do know that God does not play. I do know that you don't meddle with anything that belongs to God. You know, you got these folks even now today out trying to hunt. Hunt for the ark. Hunt for this. Hunt for that. Looking for stuff just to prove that God exists. We already know. That's what it's called, faith. To believe in something that you cannot touch and feel. but you know it's there. You might not be able to see God, but you can surely feel God. But folks, Medlin, they needed to have got the ark, did what they needed to do, and left it closed and not been Medlin. So 50,000 people died. 1,070 men of the people. That is half this city, Mother, that died. Half.
Amen.
And we're like 100,000 people somewhere in there. And think about it. You look around and half the people are gone. Because they were nosy. You need to keep your nose to yourself and stay out of other folks' business. They need to keep their eyes and their nose from looking into something they didn't have any business looking at.
Amen.
They should have been praying, letting the Levite offer the offering, and going on about their business, praising God. But instead, they got to be nosy. Some things you don't need to look at. Some things you don't need to see. And that was one of them. And it says, and the men of Bethlehem said, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall it go up from us? So they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, the Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up with you. Then the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Elijah, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. So it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign God and the Asherah from among you and prepare your heart for the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Asherah and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray. There it is. Got to pray always. To the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel, and when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. The Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Bethgar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shiloh and called its name Ebenezer. So now you know where Ebenezer comes from. You hear about churches called Ebenezer Baptist and Ebenezer this. This is where it comes from. The book, First Samuel, chapter 7. Saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. Praise God. So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also, there was peace between Israel and the Amorites, and Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He went from year to year on the circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. But he always returned to Ramah, where his home was there. There he judged Israel, and there he built an altar to the Lord. And some life lessons from chapter 6 and chapter 7 of 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel 6 and 19, he struck the men of Beth-Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. In his grace, God brought the ark back to Israel, but in his holiness, he struck down some Israelites who treated the ark as a curiosity rather than as a symbol of God's glory. Woo! Treated it as a curiosity instead of saying, Lord, thank you. Lord, we praise you. You know, calling a priest to come and take over the ark, they going to be nosy to look in. Oh, we got the ark. You know, and today, Mother, you can see folks with their cameras like, oh, let me get this selfie. Oh, you see me? Girl, I'm with the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, yeah. Hold on. Let me get my lipstick on. I want to make sure that you get the right light of me with the Ark. You know, now they would be on YouTube, on TikTok, doing some kind of the Jerusalem dance in front of the Ark. You know, come on now, folks. Don't have no common sense. And back then, they didn't either. You know, playing with God, you can't do that. And then it says in 1 Samuel 7:3, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods. God demands and deserves our exclusive loyalty and love. He made us for himself, and we have no higher calling than to draw near to him. I love this song, and it's called The More I Seek You, The More I Find You, The More I Find You, The More I Love You. We got to love God. We got to seek God. We got to ask God. Seek, Lord, like Samuel. We got to know that we let him know, I hear you, God. Speak to me, God. Let me hear your voice. And this is what Dr. Stanley says in this life question. How can I know it's God's voice I hear and not something else? And it says the book of 1 Samuel describes how the boy Samuel came to hear and understand the spoken word of God. The Bible records that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. And that was in chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. Samuel therefore had to learn how to recognize the voice of God and not get it mixed up with ideas that conflict with the Lord's true character. Samuel not only learned to clearly hear the words of God, he also came to speak them with authority. From Samuel 3 and 19 to 20, because the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. This was extremely important because when God called Israel to repentance, he sent his word through Samuel. Samuel declared, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Asherahs from among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. Samuel's obedience, Israel returned to the Lord, and the nation enjoyed peace. Even got along with the Amorites. And it says, although Samuel learned to hear God's voice clearly, we sometimes let our preconceptions about God influence what we think, what we hear from him. If, for instance, we think of God as a wise and caring counselor, we will be open to the love he has for us in the midst of calamities brought on by our own foolishness. If, however, we think of God as a vindictive judge, we will expect to hear words of condemnation and harsh punishment, when we act foolishly. Our relationship with God influences how we hear God. If we approach God as he saved children living under his grace, then we come with the assurance that he will speak the words we really need, even if they are not what we want to hear. When we know him as an infinitely loving God, then it's easier for us to believe everything he says. Unfortunately, too many Christians fall for twisted conceptions of God that misrepresent our gracious consent, patience, trustworthy Father. We've all heard too many unbiblical ideas offered as if they were gospel truth. Come on now, you better preach. And such errors can lead us into horrible emotional and spiritual bondage. Whew, we better understand God is clear in everything that he does. That's why our view of God must remain correct and biblically informed by knowing him as the God of love, 1 John 4:8, who wants us to approach the throne of grace boldly, Hebrews 1:16. We will trust him more completely no matter what he directs us to do. Therefore, we should take the advice of 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and test whatever we hear against the truth of Scripture. That way, we'll always know whether we're hearing God's voice or not. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If that voice tells you to go jump off a bridge and you can't swim, you know it's not God. Come on now, because that's suicide. Oh, if you do that, then I'll send my angels to pick you up. Even Jesus didn't fall for that okie-doke nonsense. We got to be very
Amen.
Careful of what we hear and what we follow, because the enemy is sneaky and busy. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you.
Amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hearers of God and doers of God's word. I'm in Psalms 55:1-8. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Don't hide from me. Attend to me and hear me. I'm restless in my complaint and moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me. Terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I'll fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off, remain in the wilderness, and I will hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. My heart is severely pained within me. So give ear to my prayer, O God. And the lesson today is watch, therefore, always pray. Watch and pray. I remember the thief on the cross. He said, Lord, remember me. Don't have to be a long prayer, but we do have to watch and pray. And that was a short prayer. And God told him, this day, this very day, you're going to be with me in paradise. So when we feel the way David was feeling, tend to me and hear me. I'm restless in my complaint, moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, oppression of the wicked. We have to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. He tells us all the time that we must continue. We have to continue to watch and continue to pray. He said, horror has overwhelmed me. I mean, he was scared. Can you imagine yourself being afraid of something? Fear is an awful thing when it comes up on you. He said, oh, I would fly away and be at rest. Oh, that I had wings like a dove so I can fly away and be at rest. I'm reading Proverbs 15:14. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge. Mouth of fools feed on foolishness. Isn't that amazing? The heart of him
and
who
something
has
we
understanding.
See all the time.
Amen.
We see it all the time. We see it all the time.
Amen.
All you have to do is turn on the news. All you have to do is turn on television. And all you see is a whole bunch of foolishness. And you're thinking, that doesn't make common sense. folks just doing stupid stuff. You know, I'm going to go out there and try to survive in the wilderness. And, you know, you're voted off and you're this and that. And I'm looking at this commercial for Survivor. And I'm thinking, now this man done fell off a cliff trying to get this money. It's like, can you get a job? You know, ask God to give you the job that will pay you good money so you don't have to go on this reality TV nonsense to get a dollar because you want to be an influencer, mother. What do you influence? You're influencing sin. And that's not of God. You know, and I saw your life lesson, mother. And you know, just hit it again. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. David was being chased from here to there. Saul was chasing him like he was a rabbit. And he was tired. And he said, and then Dr. Stanley tells us, when the walls close in and the fog gives way, we often wish we could just be anywhere but where God has put us. Trusting God, however, means looking beyond what we can see to what God sees. And that's hard. You know, I was glad, mother, when, you know, I left our old church and started going to the church we currently attend. But Lord, you have just sent me from the highest top of the hill to this. What? This is a storefront, God. And wait a minute. They got, it looks like it's leaked in here. What in the world? From church on the hill, pretty white church on the hill with the band that could play and the choir that could sing, to the church that didn't have a musician, didn't, in a storefront. And I was thinking, oh my, what in the world is God doing? And I, every time God, because he sent me for 2 months before he allowed, before I joined church, I went 2 months. Anniversary day I went there. You guys were having like a cookout. And then I went the first Sunday of November. And I remember getting in my car to go right to come home after church. And God took my arm and I'm fighting the steering wheel as God is turning me to go left to go to the church. Because it was an afternoon service and I was fighting God. I'm like, I'm going home. The Bears are playing, God. I'm on my way home. And God said, no, you're not. Turn that car. And the next thing I know, I was heading to the table. And, you know, amen. I know some people have got many blessings. And the blessings that God gave me. So I am grateful for my blessing of being a member of the table. Because I have found
amen.
God. So I turn it back over to you, mother, because your daughter's getting all emotional.
Amen. Life lesson, Psalm 65 and 6. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. When the walls close in and the floor gives way, we often wish we could be anywhere but where God has put us. Trusting God, however, means looking beyond what we can see to what God sees. God is God. God don't see the way we see. He's not man that he sees the way we see. God sees everything and perceives everything and knows everything. So we have to trust God when we get in strange situations that we don't understand. Trust God that he would bring us out. And he has a plan for our lives, and he wants to do us good and not evil. We need to trust God. I remember how men make idols with their own hand or a silversmith, and they bow down to something that they have made. And it has this, idol. I'm bowing down to something somebody's hands have made. And talk to it as if it's a God, that's foolishness. And ask that thing that you made, like a cow, to help you, an elephant or a cow. I mean, that is complete foolishness. It's foolishness. I'm reading Luke 21:20-38. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that desolation is near. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. Let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Woe to those who are pregnant, and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress in the land, wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword, be led away captive into all nations. Jerusalem will be trumpeted by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, on the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity of the sea, and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear, expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power, great glory. Like Pastor was saying, they were talking about men looking up at the crucifixion, and they say the same Jesus that you see go up, that's the same way he's coming back. Only this time he's coming with great power. Look up. Look up. And like they say, when they say Jesus is in the valley, Jesus is down the street, he's doing great things. Run down the street, you'll see Jesus. Don't believe that stuff.
What is he saying this word, Mama? He told you, don't go.
Don't believe it.
Not all words, but because God's word, don't go. Don't go.
He's telling you right now how he's coming back. For those that are looking for him, you're going to look up. Your redemption draws near. But you got to be looking for him. Look for him. Look for him when you're in trouble. Look for him when you're driving on the highway. Look for him when you go to bed. Look for him. Let that be in your mind every day, that this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and I'm looking for God to come today. Like a lot of times when I'm talking to my sister, I say, I'll see you tomorrow. If it's God's will, only if it's God's will I see you tomorrow, because I'm practicing the rapture jump. Honey, it's going to be 2.2 billion Christians. My brother always say, I don't believe that stuff. You got to bring Jesus' name into it, God's name into it. It's not going to happen. He said, I don't believe that stuff. Well, he's not looking for it. So he don't believe it. He can't see it. But I can see it. I can see 2.2 billion people all being called up after the dead in Christ have risen first. Those that will remain shall be caught up. The rapture, the catching away of the church, soon and very soon. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. But I can tell you this one thing. The signs of the end time are here. They're here. When a 16-year-old girl can get 43 years for killing somebody. When the accident that Pastor Bridget was talking about happened, kill six people. Wars and rumors of wars, nations against nations. People are killing people for no reason. Because you looked at me wrong. You stepped on my feet. It's just something that we're living in the signs of the end time. This is the signs of the end time, and we are living in it. We are really here. It, to me, it's exciting. I know that sounds strange, but it's exciting to be here, to know that soon and very soon we are going to see the King. I tell my baby sister Rita all the time, baby, you're going to have a glorified body, a body like Jesus can walk through the wall. I don't have to go through the door. I don't have to jump down the wonder. I don't have to go through, jump out the wonder. Just going to say, oh, well, I decided to walk through this wall and go straight through it, just like on Star Trek. Beam me up, Scotty. They won't have to beam me up.
Hey.
I'm going to the Lord. I'm going to walk through a wall. Isn't that amazing to have a glorified body? A body can be just like Jesus' body. We can do what he do. And that's what he tells us right now. when we pray for people at that altar, they're not just coming up there. They're coming up there because they believe. They believe that God is there, that he will answer. You ask the person, what do you need? And then you pray accordingly and believe that God would heal them. Believe that God would give them money if they need money financially. We have to be what we are about a Father's work. We have to be believers. Mm-hmm. Believers. That's all he asks us to do, is to believe in him.
Okay.
To believe. It said, then you will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power, great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up. Lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree, all the trees, when they're already budding, you see and know for yourself that summer is now near. You also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Or surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words by no means will pass away. What a statement. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but his words will not pass away. Take heed to yourself, lest your heart be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life, and that day will come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch. He wants you to watch. Be looking. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Life lesson, Luke 21:34. Take heed to yourself. Lest that day come on you unexpectedly. Constant awareness that the Lord could return at any time keeps us spiritually alert. Help us to make us productive for the kingdom of God. When we forget about the second coming, we become spiritually lazy. A Christian can't forget. I mean, this is what we're living for. After all, we're living for the day of the Lord. We're living for his return. It says, watch. Watch, therefore, always pray. Watch. Watch. When you're driving, watch. Pray. Doesn't have to be a long prayer. You can just say, Lord, thank you. Have a grateful heart. Lord, remember me. Lord, keep my mind. Lord, let me help somebody. The Jabez prayer. Keep hurt, harm, and evil far from me. Enlarge my territory. God, help me. You can have a prayer on your tongue, on your mouth, no matter where you are. Always watch and pray. Doesn't have to be long, but just be thankful. God, don't forget me. Oh, Lord, whatever you do, don't forget me. Don't forget me. Just like that old thief, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Don't forget about me. Lord, forgive me for any wrong thoughts that I've had. Forgive me for anything that I've done and don't know that I've hurt somebody. Oh, Lord, help me to help somebody. Oh, God, remember me. Remember me. Because the Lord has risen. I love that song, Don't Cry, because he's alive. He has risen. He's not dead. He's not dead. He got up. Oh, hallelujah, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. If he got up, it means that I'm going to get up. Whether I go in the rapture or my grave, I'm getting up.
Mm.
I'm going to get
Amen.
These aching bones and the things that people go through in this body, we're not going to go through all that. When we see Jesus, amen, we're going to get up. Life's lessons, Luke 21:36. Pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. God himself instructs us to pray that we might escape certain kinds of trials and tribulations. We need faith to bear up under suffering, We need faith to pray that God might spare us unnecessary suffering. Pray always, always, always be in prayer. It can be, like Pastor say, little prayer, little power. Great prayer, great power. Pray always. I'm going to turn this back over to the hands of our Pastor Bridget.
Amen.
Amen.
And his mother was finishing up her word in verse 37. It tells us, and in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple. But at night, he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. He went to that mountain to pray. Jesus didn't tell us to watch, therefore, and pray always and not do it himself. Jesus prayed. Just before he was taken, he was praying. Prayed on the cross. Prayed all the time. And we have got to pray. We got to keep our prayers. As they say, Sister Carolyn tells us all the time, to stay on our knees. And that's what we must do. And what Sister Carolyn had to tell us this morning is God has supply of your needs. No shortage, lack, or recession with God. Don't stress over what you don't have. Trust him. Have a trust God too. We got to trust God in everything and pray. We got to look up and pray. And as our word for this morning, our prayer, as we get ready to wrap up, is captive set free. Because we have freedom now because Christ made us free. So stand strong. Do not change and go back into the slavery of the law. Galatians 5:1 NCV. Says, Redeemer, you are the chain-breaking freedom fighter for every soul. Your lavish love fueled your journey on this earth, clothed in flesh and bones. Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice of your life, and even more, that it didn't stop at death. You rose again, defeating the grave and setting us free from sin and shame. Let me stand strong on the foundation of your love, not going back to a life dictated by rules that don't bring life. May your resurrection life and power be the moving force of my life. Whenever I get stuck, remember, I am not a slave to the fear that would keep me captive. I am free because you set me free. May I never go back to living with the limitations that keep love from spreading. I look to you, my victorious one, as the example of the life I want to live. May I not be small-minded or cold-hearted. And a question for the day, Mother, is this. Are you living bound to the law, or are you living in the freedom that offers? Hallelujah. Let us keep God first. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray, we pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that God is in the midst, knowing that Jesus is coming back. All you got to do is look up, watch, and pray always. We want to be ready when he comes. Mother, we want to have our spiritual bag packed, looking up, ready to go. Just arms lifted high and say, here I am, Lord. Use me for your glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Have a great day, family. Mother, thank you so much. Everybody, keep God first and know that he's got you covered. But it's a wrap, Mom.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Join us tomorrow, God willing. We'll be right back here, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, with a word from the Lord. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap, Mom. It's a wrap.